So as you guys know, we're in this series, The Blessed, and we're looking at one of the most important sermons of Jesus' ministry. In fact, one of the most important sermons found in all of the New Testament. Now, as you can recall, I'm just going to reiterate what the series is about, and then we'll dive into last week, and then we'll get into our message for today. So if you can recall that this is Jesus offering a blessing to the people that are listening to this message. Specifically, these are going to be Jews and new believers of the Christian faith. And we kind of talked about this the last couple of weeks, and I want to draw this again, that each statement Jesus makes here, each verse begins with a blessing and ends with a result of the blessing that's given in that specific verse. Now, we talked last week about having a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I pointed out the fact that this word righteousness often gets twisted by the world to mean happiness. And if you can recall, we kind of illustrated this idea that we get happy when the eye for an eye mentality comes into play. And we pointed out that when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that indeed can be good. And the only thing that can satisfy this hunger that we have is when we turn our hunger and thirst over to the Lord, because ultimately He will fill us up. He will satisfy those needs. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that's been praying for my family and myself as a result of the death of my grandmother. In fact, right after church today, I'm going to load up and head on home. The memorial service will be tomorrow night, and then the funeral will be Tuesday morning, and the burial as well. So your continued prayers will be greatly appreciated, as well as for travel for everybody that's flying in. And I'll be traveling up tonight, and then I'll be driving back Tuesday to Joplin. So it'll be a lot of traveling in the next couple of days for me. All right, well, as we continue our series this week, something's rang true for me as I've written these messages every single week, in that it's funny how this works. I'm sure Rick can attest to this, but every week I've preached on a topic, it seems to have some sort of relevance in my life. Every single week, and that's been crazy for me. And this week is no different. This morning's topic is something that we can all relate to. I don't know if you watch the news in the mornings, but if you were to take 5 minutes of your day to turn on the news, you would realize how important this one is. In fact, I was talking to Dylan and a couple people from school, and we were just talking about this specific topic. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on over in Afghanistan, but there's images of people climbing on airplanes, trying to escape, falling off. There's images of a suicide bomber that walked into an airport, or walked up to the airport entryway and killed 11 service members, as well as 90, I think, was the final number of Afghani people. Our passage this morning is on the subject of mercy. And if you're anything like me, it's a hard word to understand. But, you know, through my study this week, I've come to a few realizations, and I hope to kind of help you guys come to the same. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible app or whatever it is, Go ahead and turn to Matthew 5:7. That's where we're going to be today. We'll continue on our series. We'll be in Matthew 5 for pretty much until Christmas. This is like a lot of ground to cover here. But Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy." I want to kind of take this apart and look at it in two different phases, right? So the first thing is, blessed are the merciful. I kind of want to illustrate this by looking at the difference between the words grace and mercy. Now, the Greek word for mercy is eleemon. And that's something that I don't expect you to remember. I didn't know it until I dove into a lexicon, which is just a fancy, basically, dictionary that you can use to look up Greek words and understand what they mean. But in the Greek, this word basically meant to get right inside another person so as to see his eyes, hear, feel, and think. So basically, if you're trying to understand what mercy meant in the Greek, it meant to try to put yourself in the same shoes as someone else to understand the situation that they were in. See, it's much more than what we think of when you're showing someone mercy, right? We see this and we think it as showing pity or feeling bad for someone, and that's not what the word meant. See, I was thinking about this, and the Good Samaritan parable came, or the story came to my mind, right? We can all recall what happens. The man is stranded on the road, and he gets robbed, and then he's looking for someone to help him, and some other people just decline. But what one man shows him mercy. I don't know if you remember what he does, but he actually takes him to a town nearby and pays for him to have a room at the local inn, and gives him some food and some water, and he tells the innkeeper, "I'll come back with more money if I need to." And so that's just a good example there for us to think about. Now, another characteristic of this word mercy is the word sympathy. And this word can be broken up into two Greek words, the first one being son and the second one being peshin. And that's, those together mean to experience and to suffer, and together they show us the meaning of this word sympathy. See, we often feel sorry for others. Like, I can't tell you how many times this week at college someone has come up to me and said, "Sorry for your loss," right, in result of my grandmother's passing. Or someone had came up to me in the wake of Afghanistan and just said, "Sorry for the things that are happening now in the country." But see, this idea of sympathy is what Jesus is all about. See, God is merciful, right? We would all agree on that statement. We see this clearly by the fact that he's willing to save his creation. And this helps us so much in trying to understand this concept of forgiveness. You know, I think of this statement like this: to know all is to forgive all. I'll say that again for you. To know all is to forgive all. Now, we know that God is all-knowing, and so he can forgive us for everything that we've done. But see, I think we cannot, and I want you to take this with you, we cannot truly understand how to give mercy until we have realized we have received mercy. Like, you can't give something until you know that you have it. And I want you to know, too, that the Bible does not teach salvation by works alone. See, I like this scripture. I don't have the reference written down, but it's important here. It says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy who showed no mercy." See, we have to begin to forgive the people in our lives. If you think about it this way, if we were judged on the way we judge others, none of us would ever be forgiven. You know, this is something that I'm personally kind of going through in my life right now. I've shared this with a few people. I don't know if I've gotten to tell all of this, but I have an uncle that's a little wild right now, and he kind of did some things with some of my grandmother's assets, and he's trying to run away with the money and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's hard to show him mercy right now. My parents are struggling. I'm struggling. You know, it's gotten to a point where my aunt actually had to call and arrange for law enforcement to be at my grandmother's funeral because they're scared that he might get murdered if he shows up. Like, it's hard to show mercy. But if I'm not willing to do the same thing that God did for me and show mercy to others, then I don't deserve the mercy that he's given me. See, this is a strong characteristic of us being a child of God, because God is merciful. See, I think you're only forgiven as you're truly repentant. See, if I am truly repentant, then I am, as a person, will be forgiven, forgiving to others. If you're not willing to repent for the things that you've done, how can you then take the grace and peace that God's given you for that repentance and then pass it on to others? You can't. It's not simply possible. And how do we begin to get this repentance? Well, the first step is to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. See, I think that this is naturally hard for me. I didn't grow up in a charismatic background, and I've slowly kind of leaned more into this during my time at Ozark. But it's something that's hard for me. I think it's like a feeling that I get when a big decision comes up and I'm praying about it, and God just points me in the way he wants to go. In fact, I can remember a very specific time that this came into play. It was about 3 years ago for me. I was hanging out at my parents' house. I just separated from the military, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I was praying every night, like, God, just show me where to go. And I remember it very distinctly. I was laying in bed one night getting ready to go to sleep before getting up for work the next day, and I just felt this call to go sit in front of my computer and apply to be a student at Ozark Christian College. And I had two options in this moment. One, to say, God, I'm not good enough, I don't want to do that. Or two, to let the Spirit lead me in the direction God wanted me to go. And so I got out of bed, went and sat in front of my computer, applied to Ozark, and said, God, if I get in, I'll go. I'll follow your Spirit to where you lead me. And about 3 weeks later, I got a phone call. I had gotten accepted to Ozark Christian College. And at that moment, I was like, okay, it's go time. And the rest is history. I've been there for, this will be the end of my junior year in December, and it's been an amazing experience just letting go, letting the Spirit lead my life to the places He wants me to go. And I've got one more kind of final thing. We'll put the bow on this thought, and it's that our lives are declaring what we are. I'll say that again because I want you to get this. Our lives are declaring what we are. Are you living a life that is merciful? Are you repenting of the things that you've done so that way you can be less judgmental and be merciful to the people around you? Are you asking God on the day, on a day-to-day basis to lead your life, to give you the Spirit to lead your life and point you more towards Him? I can't think of any better of an example of someone being merciful and Spirit-led than Jesus on the cross, right? We all know that Jesus died for us, and we talked a few weeks ago about my favorite passage, if you will, in the whole Bible, and that's Philippians 2, and this idea of Jesus being in humility to get on the cross, but this idea of this whole time He's Spirit-led. And you know, there was that night before, and He's up on the mountain, and He's praying to God, and He's saying, God, do I have to do this? Do I have to go to the cross? And He said, and you know, God kind of just gives Him like, yes, this is necessary. And He says, okay, it's your will. I'll go show them mercy. And so I wonder what's going on in your life that God needs to forgive you, so, or give you the courage to show mercy. Maybe it's something like a family member doing something crazy like my story, or maybe it's somebody that's burned a bridge a long time ago and you're just not able to forgive them. Whatever it is, I just ask, I pray that you give those things to Jesus. Give them to God so that we can be a church of mercy. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just thank You for the opportunity that we have to gather together this morning to hear Your word and to get some opportunities to apply it to our lives. I hope that we can go forth this week with this thought of Your mercy, and that we can begin to realize how we can share that mercy with others. We thank You for Your Son and for all the things that You do for us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.